Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus Boreali with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep, open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and in today's discussion, we explore the paranormal from the lens of psychology and discover how one anomalous moment can shatter someone's paradigm and cause them to spiral into the world of the spiritual in an attempt to understand this bizarre reality we all reside in. But before we get into that, we of course have to do the front of house. So if you aren't already following the show across social media, highly recommend that you do if you want to get updates on anything new and interesting going on with the show. Of course, Instagram is the one I'm the most active on, but you guys can check us out on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Discord. And as far as Discord goes, it'd be really cool if some of you guys hopped in on there. There's a lot more going on in the Discord, and I'm trying to build that up as much as possible to form a community of all of you awesome people out there. But the only way I'm going to be able to keep making that work and keep doing that is if you guys hop in, do some interaction, become part of the Inquirer community / Bizarre Encounters. I guess it kind of accompanies all of it, but definitely if you guys want to have some awesome conversation with some like-minded individuals, definitely go and check out the Discord. Can't promote that enough. And if anybody's interested in being a guest on the show, or having me as a guest on your show, or if you're interested in sponsoring the show in some way, shape, or form, or if you just want to have a conversation with me, you guys can get a hold of me through social media. Instagram is the one I'm the most active on, but you guys can definitely message me on Facebook also, or you guys can email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form, and of course, that goes directly to my email. And make sure you guys check your spam or junk folders, make sure nothing gets missed in the process, because again, I do respond to every single message that I get from you guys. And if you guys have an encounter that you guys want to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, paranormal, cryptids, aliens, UFOs, anything anomalous, anything interesting like that, you guys can report those to omm encounter reports@outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree and there is a separate submission form for that. I believe it's the third tab down. It says report an encounter. And depending on what you want to do with it, we can have a little bit of back and forth. Either one, I can read it on the show, give you guys a shout out, or we can just discuss it one-on-one, or you guys could possibly be a guest on the show. Or if I'm somewhat near you, maybe I can even get out and be able to investigate it. But if you guys want to keep the encounters between us, that's definitely possible. We can just have a discussion about it. Maybe I can help you out with it a little bit. Or again, if you guys want to get featured on the show, just let me know. And of course, like I said, we'll have some back and forth if you guys shoot me a message about any of that. And if you guys can't get enough of the weird stuff I do, you guys can go and check out Bizarre Encounters, my other show that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren. We deep dive into the paranormal, cryptids, aliens, anomalous things, anything weird like that. We do our own research on stuff. We have some back and forth. We have some fun discussions. Sometimes there's guests on the show, but it's a little bit different of a format. That sounds like something you guys might be interested in. Definitely recommend going and checking that out. If you guys want to keep tabs on everything I do all in one place, you guys can go and follow Open Minds Media across social media. And if you guys want to support the show, there's a couple different ways to do so. Number one that I'm trying to build up as much as possible is the Patreon. You'll get things over there such as ad-free episodes of the show, early access to the show, lives of the show, live replays of the show, exclusive merch store discounts, exclusive giveaways, Patreon exclusive shows such as the other show that I'm starting up, Bizarre Inquiries, and the first unofficial episode / first episode are already dropped on the Patreon if you guys want to go and check that out. I believe some of them I'll probably drop onto the normal feed to get you guys over there if you guys aren't already checking it out. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of exclusive content going on over there, and I'm going to keep trying to build that up as much as possible as far as 2024 goes. And if you guys have any suggestions for the Patreon, I'm more than happy to hear them. I want to try to give you guys what you want as far as that content goes. And at least over there, too, you don't just get one show. You also get Bizarre Encounters and any other shows that I do all in one place, Open Minds Media Patreon. And if you guys want to donate to the show directly, you guys can do so through Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, or Red Circle, which is the RSS host for the show. Even if you just want to buy me a coffee to make it so I can stay up late and keep editing and doing all the different stuff for the show, definitely appreciated. Majority of that's going to go toward being able to get out to more events, to be able to meet more of you guys, make more opportunities as far as possibly speaking at events, stuff like that. It all goes back into the show because I'm trying to continue to build up and grow the show as much as I possibly can this year. And the third way you guys can support the show is through the Open Minds Media merch store. Over there, I got designs for Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Encounters, some other cryptid designs. Definitely going to be updating as far as different holiday designs. There's always going to be something relatively new on there. I'm going to try to drop new designs monthly. So if you guys want to go and support the show, it's an awesome way to do so. There is random promo codes that get dropped on the Instagram and stuff here and there. And of course, if you guys join the Patreon, you guys do get exclusive merch store discounts depending on which tier you guys pick. And number four, as far as supporting the show, you guys can do so through leaving a review or rating on iTunes or Spotify or whatever other podcatcher you use. And if I can find that review, which I definitely check frequently, I will, of course, read it on the show and give you guys a big shout out. And speaking of that, we got a new review this week from Mad Copy Girl. She says, "Never a dull moment. So far, I'm loving this podcast. The episode about Replica, the app, had me enthralled. More." Well, I definitely appreciate the review, and of course, I will keep doing what I can to bust out as much awesome content as I possibly can for all of you guys. And speaking of awesomeness, you guys, if you haven't already, highly recommend going and checking out I Know Squatch. They got a lot of really awesome Sasquatch-type gear. They got their really cool exclusive creeper design, and they also have these really cool baseball-looking hats that say the word whoop on it, of course, which for everybody that's familiar, that is the call of the Sasquatch. One of my personal favorite Sasquatch merchandise companies, of course. I am currently wearing one of the I Know Squatch shirts they sent me. I really enjoy it. My closet consists of Cryptotheology, I Know Squatch, and a bunch of my different designs and logos and stuff. So highly recommend going and checking it out. And for any other cryptid that you guys might want to be might be interested in, including Sasquatch, of course, but done in a totally different manner, you guys can go and check out Cryptotheology. Joe is always dropping new awesome designs. And I know right now he is in between convention season, so he should be dropping a bunch of awesome stuff really, really soon. He sent me a couple different things he was working on, and guys, I think you guys are really going to enjoy some of the new stuff he's going to be dropping very, very soon. And to all my paranormal investigators out there, don't forget to go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. I use it anytime I go out. It is my personal favorite device that I have at my disposal. And if you guys have any questions about it whatsoever, you guys can message Barry over there on Dimension Devices. He is the guy that programmed and developed it, of course. So we can answer literally any question that you might have on the device. And of course, don't forget to use our affiliate link if you go and pick yourself up one of those. It helps out the show immensely, and I greatly appreciate it if you guys would. And everything that I mentioned is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, paranormal researcher and advisor, Deborah Roque. How's it going today?
Going very well, actually. Thanks. And yourself?
Not too bad. It's 2024. Hoping this year is better than the last couple of years, considering all the craziness that's been going on. So, you know, it's already off to a good start because nothing crazy's happened quite yet.
Oh, well, yeah, we're only 2 days in, so let's not hold our breath for too long. We'll see. What happens?
We got to manifest good. That's the only thing. That's the only way to go about it. If you have negative intentions, then we're going to get another crazy thing that happens again this year. But, you know, not to get too political, but we got the election coming this year. So at least the end of the year, there's going to be some crazy stuff, I'm sure.
looking forward to it.
So I guess a good place to get started for anybody that may not be familiar with who you are, what you do, why don't you let them know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what you do.
All right. So my name is Deborah. I am a, like, as you said, Shane, a paranormal researcher and advisor. And what that means basically is I research anything that has to do with the paranormal, but more from a psychological, but also spiritual perspective. And so what I do with Paranormal Paradigma is help individuals who are having paranormal experiences. They maybe don't know who to talk to about their paranormal experiences, feel distress, fear, shame, guilt, any sort of stigma, and help them sort of process it and overcome these things, make meaning of their experiences from that more spiritual sort of holistic perspective.
So what exactly like got you started going into that way of like going about doing things? Because I've heard of a couple different people that kind of, they try to do almost like support for people when they have like UFO abductions. I don't hear about it too much with paranormal other than people like researching it in general. So like what kind of inspired you to go down that path?
Honestly, I think a little bit of my own experience and also listening to a bunch of other experiences on like docuseries and documentaries, and how everybody that has some sort of paranormal experience, for the most part, at first, it's sort of a jarring kind of, especially the first couple experiences that one has. It's a very jarring experience and maybe even like life altering experience. And we don't have the help out there to help us really process these things, especially if you come from a like really, really religious background, or maybe you're a skeptic or a non-believer of some sort. And so as I was doing research, and you know, because that's just my love, that's what I love to do is research and read.
As I was doing both. All that,
I realized I was like, yo, psychology really doesn't have the support that we need as a society to help people go through these things. And it's largely because traditional psychology doesn't honor the paranormal, right? Like, there is no such thing as paranormal causation. So then everybody sort of looks to parapsychology, but then parapsychologists are sort of looked at as pseudoscientists. And then even then, let's say, you know, even if they aren't, doesn't matter. The help that exists inside of parapsychology just isn't big enough. They're just a pretty small discipline compared to normal psychology. And so I was like, I think we need a little bit more access to help when it comes to understanding these experiences, what they mean for us, how to process them, you know, make meaning of them. Because for me, especially through my own experiences, I've learned that the paranormal is a lot more spiritual than what people make it seem. You know, there's this big stigma over like, oh, the paranormal is scary, or it's not real, it's all in your head, you're crazy if, you know, you experience it. And I'm like, there's a lot going on there that I don't think that people really understand. And if we can get people to talk about that like their experiences and kind of see it from a more like a spiritual perspective, maybe things would be a little different. Maybe people would be a little bit more curious as to why these things are happening and see the relationship between the experience and themselves. And that's what I try to do.
Just out of curiosity, do you have a psychology background as far as, like, did you go to school for it, or was it just, like, something you were interested in that you did a bunch of research into? Because I definitely have a curiosity for psychology, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I went to college or anything like that for it. But, of course, you can learn just as much off of, like, doing enough research. But just out of curiosity, where does your background go in with psychology?
So I actually don't have a psychology degree. My background, I do have a master's degree. It's environmental science and policy. And from there, actually, oh my God, this is my life. I'm like, oh my God, where do I even start? So I was in a PhD program and I made it almost all the way to the PhD, like all but dissertation pretty much. And then at the end of it, things with like my field research sort of just like went downhill. And they basically gave me a decision. They were like, well, you can continue with your PhD, or you can, you know, just opt out for a master's. And I decided for my master's because of 100,000 things that were happening at that time. And I'm kind of glad I did, because at that point of my life, I thought I was just going to, it was all science for me. You understand? I was entering into the more paranormal sphere. I was going through a lot of changes, but around that moment for me, life was just subjective reality and materialist reality. So whatever, all the things that happened around that time that made me shift to get to a master's and then from there do what I'm doing now, I'm really grateful for, because I feel like now I learned a lot more than I probably would have ever learned in school. And it's just, like you said, like, it's just taken me down to this path of psychology and also like phenomenology too. And just spirituality in general.
I've always found it kind of funny that, you know, everybody tries to distinguish people by like what paperwork they have on a specific topic. But honestly, you can get just as much research done, start researching into stuff on the internet, watching YouTube videos. I mean, half the time, most of the lectures that you watch are from, quote, college professors. So it's like, whether you're watching it on the internet or you're going to school for it, I mean, either way, if you're sitting there, you're actually taking the time to research everything. I mean, I don't feel like it necessarily matters what qualifications you have as like far as paperwork goes. But again, that's just my kind of opinion on it. But as far as like kind of coming at it from a psychology standpoint, have you noticed any commonalities as far as people who experience paranormal things? Like possibly they have like the same type of like trauma or something from their past, or they're like a certain archetype of people. Like, is there any kind of commonality, or does it seem like it's just kind of across the board?
So what I've experienced, not only from like my own research and like even my own experiences, people that have paranormal experiences do often have some sort of distressful or traumatic experience, or are going through some sort of distressful or traumatic period in their life, right? So like that is actually a common theme, even in the parapsychology research. So I think it's very interesting that when these sort of paranormal instances or episodes happen, they tend to also like relate with like periods of like high stress or depression or some sort of anxiety or something like that, or trauma, which is very interesting. And as far as an archetype goes, like, I don't know if I really can say that I've seen an archetype. I think that one of the biggest predictors of having a paranormal experience, and this is also in the research, says that you have to believe it. Right. Which is very interesting to me, especially as somebody who used to not believe in anything, but still had paranormal experiences, but completely negated them. You understand? And then when I look back at it, I'm just like, oh, I wonder how different I would have seen things or who I would have been had I accepted that that was actually paranormal rather than saying that it was all mental and in my head. But I have found that. So basically, yes, typically there is some sort of distressful experience that people are going through. And also belief is a predictor of having more than one paranormal experience typically.
I mean, if you're looking at it from like the sense of there being like trauma, that's usually like a typical thing with like poltergeist, for example, too. I mean, assumably with that, it has something to do with like them being somewhat of like an energy leech, or possibly that negative energy creates energy around that person and these things are drawn to it, almost like a magnetic reaction. Because I mean, you look into electromagnetic fields and you're looking to the paranormal anyways, so assumably, you know, that negative magnetism might be what attracts these things rather than like a positive magnetism. And as far as like the belief system part of it goes, I mean, I don't even necessarily think, just again, my opinion, that you have to believe in it, quote unquote. I think it's a matter of the people that don't believe in it just try to rationalize things that can't be rationalized by trying to come up with, oh, yeah, the wind made it so that cup blew over. It was just, you know, I had the window open and it was just a large gust of wind, blah, 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 blah. So it's not that they aren't experiencing them because of not believing, but they're experiencing them, but they're just trying to rationalize them in totally different ways rather than actually kind of taking into consideration that it might be something paranormal.
No, 100%. I definitely can relate to that as somebody who definitely had those types of experiences and also tried to rationalize them. And we also have to remember the language in academic journals and like in academia in general. Like, they will not, even a parapsychologist will never say or would actually admit that there's such things as like paranormal phenomena. Like, say, like, yeah, there is a paranormal cause to this. So they're very like, very touch and go. They actually call it anomalous experiences rather than paranormal experiences because of the implications that the word paranormal has. And I think that also has a lot to do with, you know, the stigma surrounding the word paranormal. But what you're saying is completely correct. I think it has more to do, like, it doesn't mean that there isn't something paranormal going on. It just means that the way that you're processing it or you're interpreting it, your perspective of it, just isn't in line with what you believe to be true about the paranormal or not.
I mean, considering that we're talking about this right now and you've brought up your experiences a couple of times, you know, all the listeners, they love hearing about people's different paranormal experiences. I'd love to kind of hear about your background as far as like things that you've experienced that have also led you up to your current belief that the paranormal does exist.
So, okay, I can tell you the moment where everything sort of switched for me. So, but before I get there, let me give you a little bit of background. So I grew up in a household that where my father was a complete atheist, did not believe in anything or anyone for that matter. And my mom was Roman Catholic and also sort of like Santera, coming from a Santera background. And Santeria in the Cuban is a Cuban Afro-Cuban religion that sort of mixes a little bit of Roman Catholicism, but also like voodoo and some like African sort of beliefs, what we call orishas and things like that. So I had a little bit of a very interesting sort of upbringing. And then also then my first cousins, like my mom's sister converted to Islam. So I had Muslim cousins growing up and just like a whole like hodgepodge, like a just like mix of things.
I was gonna say that's extremely diverse as far as the family goes. You usually don't hear about that many different belief systems all in one family. That's super interesting.
It was just like all there. So I was listening to different, I was listening to things from like the Quran. I was seeing, you know, things from the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and my father telling me that it's all bullshit, doesn't even exist. Like it was just like all this stuff. So of course I'm like, I don't even know what happened, like what's happening with life. But anyway, I ended up becoming an atheist myself. Even though in the time that I was an atheist, I still experienced things. So like the first experience that I ever had, and I remember, was actually seeing a UFO with my mom. And that's like the first big experience that I had. And I was like 9 or 10 years old. I was in fourth grade. I remember I was in fourth grade. And she was hanging clothes outside to dry. It was at night. It's just something that she just typically did. And my dad was sleeping. My sister was, she's 5 years younger than me, so she was sleeping. And I just hear my mom like scream out my name, like something like, just, I don't know, like it was just very scary. I could hear her scream out my name the way that she did, like bloody murder. And I run outside and she's like looking in the sky and she's pointing in the sky and she like comes to me and she holds me and she gets down to my level and she's like, what's that in the sky? And I'm like, mom, it's a plane. Why? What is like the whole situation? And then she's like, no, look at it closer. And when I did, we realized that it was moving incredibly slow and very low. And so we run to the front porch and lo and behold, this thing is hovering like, I don't know how many, I can't even tell you, but like I always say it's like a helicopter, like search helicopters, like search when helicopters are searching for perpetrators, like suspects, like that sort of height, but it was just hovering and it was saucer shaped and it was just very colorful and very bright and a lot of different colors, just like kind of dancing. And I remember being in awe at first and being like, wow, my God, what is that? That's amazing. That's a UFO. Are there aliens? And then it kind of just sort of sunk in like, oh my God, they're aliens. I'm going to get abducted. That's it. I'm not going to see my family. Da, da, da. And like just went into a whole panic. And then I hid in the corner in like my kitchen. And I didn't really do much else after that. My mom tried to get the big camcorders. I mean, this was the 90s, imagine. So huge camcorder that you just prop up on your shoulder. She finally got it to work. But by the time she got it to work, it was gone. So like that, that was the first experience. And ever since then, I've had other UFO experiences, right? But
just out of curiosity, just with your mom's religious background on it, how does she like interpret like aliens or UFOs? Does she see them as extraterrestrials or does she see it more as like they might be something demonic? Just out of curiosity.
Totally extraterrestrials. My mom definitely believes in life in the universe, like outside of this earth and in the universe. She was like, yeah, those are aliens. Like, most likely. Like she did not try to put, she's not like, she's religious in the sense that like she believes, but she's not like religious in the sense that she like practices and worships the way that, you know, most devout religious people do.
I'm always curious about that kind of stuff because people kind of fit him into different paradigms depending on like what their background is. Some people see him as their demons. Other people see it as like God had like side projects that he created other life. So I always have to ask that question when somebody comes from a religious background. So,
oh, that's really cool though. But thanks for asking. But yeah, no, my mom was like aliens for sure. So we're like, I was like, okay. So I had other experiences in between that time, but the one experience that kind of just made me shift was actually my father passing. And the reason for this is because we were just so many like synchronicities and weird things. Like I was with my sister in Orlando, Florida. We were going to watch, funny enough, the premiere of Jurassic World, cause that's like our favorite movie, which links us back to our dad. Cause our dad, you know, one of the biggest, I guess the best memories that we have as children is going to the theater to watch Jurassic Park, like back in 1992, 1993, when it came out in the theater. So we always have that night, like that memory with him. And so when Jurassic World came out, we were like, oh my God, we got to get together again and watch this movie, like to sort of, you know, do the whole nostalgia thing and get back together.
It's like a remembrance thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it was a week before Father's Day. So it was a weekend before Father's Day. So we went to Orlando and everything cool. We talked to my dad because my dad, you know, parents, they're always like, call us when you get to there. Just want to make sure you're safe. And I forgot to call my dad and tell him that we had got there and we were safe. So he called. He was like a little upset and like frustrated. And he's like, oh, I just told you to call me. And I was like, I'm sorry, Dad. No problem. But we're here. We're safe. Everything's cool. I'll call you tomorrow and we'll plan, you know, the Father Day activities next week. I'll see you next week and I love you. And so I remember going to sleep that night. We ended up watching it. Everything was cool in the game. And I wake up in the middle of the night that night for the first time ever in my life. This had never happened to me. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like legitimately concerned for my father. Like I'm like, something's wrong with my dad. I don't know what's wrong with it. Something's happening. And I convinced myself that it was just a sort of like psychological manifestation, that I'm just worried about him. And now it's coming up in my subconscious and I'm waking up. And that's why I'm afraid for my dad, because my dad's a little older. So, you know, not to worry about it. Go back to sleep. I'll call him tomorrow. Make sure everything's okay. So that's what happened. I'm back to sleep. And about 2 hours later, I get a call in the middle of the night. Like it was, I think it was 2:36 in the morning. And I get a call from a police officer telling me that they found my father dead, like in his bathroom. And that's when I think like everything for me just sort of like, kind of just like, whoa, what happened here? And for days, I was just like, why didn't I react when I felt that my dad had died or something was wrong with my dad? And the more that I think about it, the more that and the things that happen afterwards, the more that I understand that that was most likely my father. Like, you know, when people are dying, this has happened many times. I'm not the only one to experience this. You know, when a loved one dies or is dying, they come to visit, you know, their family members and sort of send off or say a goodbye or whatnot. And the more that I read about this and see the similarities between those stories and mine, I'm like, that's exactly what happened. And then from there, I had like started to sort of shift my mentality. And I finally got, I think, a confirmation with my friend who at the time was having a lot of medium experiences. And she's like, your dad's coming through. And I'm like, how do you know it's my father? Like, she was my friend, but we weren't like best friends and we didn't like grow up together. She didn't know my dad like that. So I was like, okay, my dad's coming through. Like, how do you know? And she's like, it's his energy. He wants to tell you something. And she starts telling me things that there's just no way that she could have known about, like my family, like brothers and sisters in Cuba and things like that. And then I think the kicker for me was like, what does the number 236 mean for you? Like, he keeps showing me 236. And I think I almost like died that morning. Like at that day, I was just like, how do you know? And I was like, that's when I got the call to tell me that he died. And she was like, well, I guess he's just trying to confirm that he's here. And I was just like, holy shit. Okay. Like, I was like, this is so interesting, because my dad was a devout atheist. Like, he was just like, there is nothing And then for him to come through the way that he did with my friend and send me these messages, not to mention everything that I felt and the things that I was experiencing, to me, it was almost like a message saying, like, don't make the same mistake that I made. Don't be an atheist. You got to believe. Look into it. Like, go down that path. You understand? And since then, I've never looked back. Like, it's been 7 years now, going on 8. And this is just what I've made my life's calling. Like, this is what I do.
That was exactly when you, like, switched, because you had atheistic views before you got that phone call and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, like, it just, I had experiences which would make anybody a believer. And I'd be like, nah, that was an animal. Or no, that was just, you know, a normal sleep paralysis sort of episode, or, you know, things like that. I would just always something, unless it was a UFO. But for me, UFOs didn't really have to do with the paranormal so much, although I know it is. But for me, UFOs are just like, there's life outside of this universe, whatever. You understand? I don't know anything about it. It just is what it is. But I didn't really like get into it until obviously afterwards.
I mean, at least as far as UFOs and stuff like that go too, they're one of those things that even if you are an atheist, I mean, there's still definitely the possibility of life that exists in other places. And it's kind of funny too, that even like being an atheist, you know, you have this concept of science that like energy can't be created nor destroyed. So assumably, you know, it's the same with consciousness, that consciousness is an energy, so it can't necessarily be destroyed. It just gets displaced somewhere else. And I mean, at least coming again from like an atheist view on things, I mean, I can't even like fathom how that would feel, that, you know, you have your one foot on either side and you're starting to kind of transition over, and rather than there being nothing, instead you're starting to see all these people around you. Like, I feel like he probably had one of those moments where maybe he didn't know how long his window was that he'd be in between the two realms. So he wanted to be able to make a connection with you, and especially saying like the time, like what not a better way to basically make contact with you and prove it, because, you know, anything else that you get from family, you know, your friend could have heard it from somewhere. They could have heard it from this, just hanging out around you and everything. That's like one of those key things that nobody would know except for him. But, you know, it's a hard thing losing a parent. And I'm really sorry to hear that you lost your father, and that's what made it so that you started believing in the paranormal. But I mean, I guess the good news, not necessarily good news considering everything with, you know, your father passing away, but the good news is that he, at least with his last move that he was able to do, he made it so that you knew that there was something on the other side. And I mean, even continuing off of that, out of curiosity, has he tried to contact you in any other way? Have you felt his presence around you or anything? Or do you think that he's, you know, assumably in whatever people want to refer to as like a heaven?
I definitely think that when he transitioned, he chose to be a guide, because I feel like he's always around me all the time. And I actually have like a sensation now when like I know he's around. On my back, I have a tattoo and it was made for him. Like, it's like dedicated to him. And this was before he died. So this had been like, he had seen the tattoo. He knew it was for him, like all this stuff. And now as time went on, I started to feel, At first it was like scents, like specific scents that were just him. Like, I would smell him and I was like, oh my God. But then from there, I think as I started to evolve my own like abilities and my intuition and things like that, it kind of just went into from like scents and like shadows to now it's just a sensation on my back. And that's when I get like, you know, what we call confirmations of like him being around. And that actually happens probably like weekly. Like, he's just constantly there.
Because I'm assuming do you go out on like paranormal investigations, or do you more so just like talk to people about like their paranormal experiences?
No, I don't do investigations. I'm more of a, like I said, more on the spiritual spectrum. So I actually do tarot readings. I can use the tarot to access and like talk to individuals on the other side. And then just kind of use that as my method of communication, I guess, when it comes, if I want to talk to him or any of my guides. And that's what I do. And then the research, obviously. And that's how I came into advisement, because from tarot, it's sort of just kind of, that's what a tarotist does, right? Like, you advise people on how to make better decisions in their lives, depending on the energies that are present. And so with the paranormal, it's basically the same thing. You understand? If you want people to understand what's happening or why it's happening, like, you have to understand the energies that are present and why they're attracting the type of things that they're attracting and what that means for them and how they can, like, overcome the things that they're experiencing. So it's almost like in the same spectrum.
I guess this question kind of interchangeably works for paranormal investigating and for doing divination. Since he's more of like the guide type, do you feel that he kind of like helps you when you're going about this research, like kind of making communication with the other side for you?
Yeah, no, for sure. And then when I get like stuck or whatnot, I'll actually ask him or whoever I feel is guiding me at the moment. Like, I'll just like, just what do I do now? Like, what do I do next? And just sort of kind of let the like intuit whatever the messages are. You understand?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then sometimes it's like, you know, when they think it, oh my God, what is that term right now? When it kind of just comes into your head, the thought, oh my gosh, I don't remember the name right now, but like, it just like the thought will come into your head or otherwise it's like synchronicities and signs and things like that.
And then, as far as, like when you do your tarot readings and everything like that, like what's kind of like your background perspective on that? Cause I know that you said you came from multiple religious backgrounds. Are you more of like the spiritual type? Do you take in aspects of like, of the Bible? Like what's kind of like your background as far as like when you do your tarot readings? Cause I know some people do it, as like a light working thing where they believe in the Bible and they bring that in with the divination. And then the other side of that, of course, is that people, think that it's completely something that's demonic and it shouldn't be done if they come at it from a biblical perspective, or again, the spiritual side that, you know, maybe there's more of like a universal consciousness or like where do you kind of fall in as far as that goes?
So I'm not religious, right? So what I am is definitely spiritual. So I come at it from the more spiritual aspect. And the way that I read it is more like archetypally. So the tarot, I see them as archetypes. And, you know, these archetypes are going to tell me the sort of like what is the energy present in the situation. And then from there, I sort of interpret the symbols and the numbers sometimes. So the numerology, the symbology, and like the archetypes that are in the tarot. And then I just sort of put the story together and, you know, like you said, either divinate or give the advice or, you know, try to figure out what's the best course of action to take depending on who's, you know, what the question is for the reader. I mean, like the querent.
So usually, just out of curiosity, when you're going about and you're going to advise somebody, what's kind of your method to it? I'm assuming that you kind of hear their experience. You talk to them about their experience. And then if, you know, it's like a relative or somebody, then you might do like tarot readings for them. Like what's kind of like your process as far as like when you have somebody that comes to you and wants your help, like what's your kind of your step-by-step as far as that goes?
So it depends on it depends what they're coming for, right? So if they're coming for a paranormal situation, right? Not a divination situation. Because I read tarot for both. Like I'll be like, okay, if this is a paranormal situation, let's do it this way. But if it's a normal, like I have a question about general life, love, all that stuff, it's another whole situation, right? Usually if it's a paranormal experience that somebody's going through and they want more answers, I actually created my own spread that I use to ask, you know, the source, you know, spirit or whatnot, and give me a better idea of what's going on. And yeah, I will like ask like, what are you going through? Like, what is it that's happening? I'll get a little bit of a gist of the story, and then I'll throw tarot to kind of get it a better idea of like what it was that's coming through, why it's coming through, what is the message behind this, you know, situation, and kind of get a better idea of that. If it's regular tarot, it's sort of a lot more blind, actually. I don't ask questions. I just ask if they have a question. If they have a question, I throw the tarot. If they don't, then we do a general reading. And that is, that's whatever kind of goes, comes in, and that's it. And then if they don't want tarot readings, they just want to talk about their experience. And it's more of like a, sort of like what we're doing. It's more of a conversation. And I just let people talk about their experience, what happened. And then I ask questions as to like, well, what's going on in your life right now? Why do you think that this happened to you? What does it mean? And sort of try to formulate a story. And depending on where they are, then I will offer sort of like techniques and methods that they can use to either explore it more and sort of lean into it and try to figure it out. Or if they want to just stop it, then we can also go down that route so that these things can stop happening to them.
I know that this this might turn into a whole other side tangent, but I definitely want to come back to some of the people that you've worked with and hear some of their experiences. But I like to ask this to anybody that reads tarot. As far as like when you do a spread, what's kind of your view as far as like, do you think that the future is set in stone and that there's not necessarily free will? Or do you see the tarot cards as more of like a projection of this might happen in the future if you go about what you're doing? Like, what's kind of your view as far as tarot and reading what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, so I'm definitely more of the, I cannot for sure ever predict anybody's future because the future is ever changing and it all depends on, like you said, like your free will and what you decide to do with the decisions and the things that you have at hand right now. Right. So yeah, I can give you an overview of what could happen. And like, this may happen. This is where it looks like it might head. But at the end of the day, you're the one who decides what to do with the energy present and with your own decisions. And of course, like you said, free will. So it'll be presented to you. And at that moment, whatever it is that you decide is what you decide. And then kind of life will take its course from there on. But I don't think that the future is ever set in stone. I don't think that you can 100% predict the future. And I think anybody that says that they can is full of shit.
See, this kind of starts getting a little bit more into like philosophy as far as that stuff goes. But I've always been kind of curious if by knowing the possibility of what's going to happen in the future, if that all in turn makes it so that you might actually deter from that path by doing stuff a little bit differently, by pushing to make that happen, or if it's one of those things that, you know, by knowing that it's going to happen, maybe it was something that was intended to happen. So now that you know that it was going to happen, that's what causes it to happen. Or if it's a matter of like, you end up deterring away from it because you're aware that it's going to happen. Like it's, like I said, it's kind of a philosophy thing, but I've always been something that I've always been kind of curious about.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, that's why it's not that it's impossible to predict the future, because again, like there are patterns, you know, certain energies predict certain things. And I'm not going to say that you can't predict the future. I'm just saying that anybody who says that they can all the time is full of crap, because you just don't know. This is why, you know, people will read, let's say, like Nostradamus's predictions or whatnot, and some of the things have come true, and then some of the things haven't, and some things have misinterpreted, and it just all really just sort of depends. And so, I don't know. I don't like to ever sort of, I feel like it's false marketing. Like if I'm like, yeah, this is really going to happen, I don't want to disappoint anybody. And I'm very clear too. Like, hey, like this is what could happen. I'm not saying it will, but just like, be aware, you know, like check it, see what happens.
I would say even like Nostradamus, anybody that guesses the future, you know, it's maybe like what at most like an 80% success rate. So yeah. I mean, like even past that, it kind of makes you wonder about the whole idea about like parallel timelines or multiple timelines, that assumably if somebody can see into the future of this timeline, they can also see into the future of other timelines. So it may not necessarily be that they're wrong. They might have 100% success rate, but not all of them might happen in this specific timeline that we're in. And once you get into other weird aspects of it, like everybody kind of has the idea with like the Mandela effect, that it might actually be that we're actually bouncing between multiple timelines. You know, maybe that's kind of where that not necessarily always correct aspect falls in is maybe some people are only specifically seeing one timeline where other people are actually seeing multiple futures from multiple timelines. And again, it wasn't necessarily that they even got any of the predictions wrong. It was just that it may not be on the current timeline that we're in. And we may have been on that timeline when those people were alive and they were actually guessing the future at this point. But since the Mandela effect started, we might be bouncing timelines at this point for all we know.
True story. Absolutely right.
But bouncing back into some of the people that you've advised, I always like hearing about people's most interesting cases that they've dealt with. I know that some people probably want to keep their stuff private. They don't want to be named. They don't want to have their stories talked about. But anybody that may be a little bit more open about their stories in the idea that maybe being open about it might actually help other people to come out with their stories. What are some of the most interesting paranormal experiences or different people that you've advised and the different things that they've been through?
So I definitely I tell them that my stuff is confidential. So I won't be naming names, and I'll try to like not give too much details just to like keep the person's confidentiality and protect them. Probably the most recent one was a woman I'm trying to see what can I say and what can I not say. So she was having a lot of experiences and a lot of synchronicities in her life that made her believe that maybe if she ever bore a child, she would bear a sort of like maybe like a prophet sort of messiah sort of child, right? And it was very interesting to hear her story because like she had a lot of experiences that made her feel that what she believed to be true about the child that she should bear, will bear, because she was pregnant or anything, but that she feels like it's going to happen. She was a lot of all these experiences that she was having made her feel and just like kind of validated the idea that this was supposed to be her, like this was her role in her life. And she kind of was stuck in this loop sort of where if it wasn't real, like should she tell her partner because she hadn't told her partner and all this stuff and like what that meant and what should she do and all these things. And for me, hearing her story, it kind of is... What happens is this: when you attach yourself to the outcome of something, you actually, I was going to say it in Spanish. What is that word? Lo alejas. You, my gosh, you make it further from you. What is that term? I don't know. So you just like, you
push it away. Maybe
you push it away. Thank you. So you push it away. So, and I was telling her and I was like, maybe all these synchronicities and paranormal experiences that you've been having in relation to this idea, this feeling that you're having, has a lot to do with the attachment to the result, to the outcome. And maybe we need to work on that, right? Because I think what happens a lot of times, especially with paranormal experiences or even the spiritual experiences, we get attached to what should happen or what will happen, and we don't let things sort of just evolve and go as they should and sort of see what happens and where it takes us. And so with her particular case, we're basically working on detaching from the results and things like that, to kind of like let her see where it goes, and also working on her insecurity with what she feels is like her intuition and the synchronicities and how to like, you know, be able to tell these things to her partner and like for her not to feel ashamed or guilty for having these sort of ideas and like these feelings. And so that's probably one of the more recent experiences that I've had with a client. And then let me see another one. She was actually talking about, a UFO experience, and I don't think she really knows what she's looking for. She's just having a hard time, I think, just kind of acclimating back to like reality. She's very like now like involved in the research and like the whole like that rabbit hole of like UFO phenomenon and everything, but is feeling a little bit isolated because her partner and her children aren't like really on that level with her. And so she's, I guess, just trying to find some sort of comfort or something that she feels like can give her some sort of sense of, I don't know, normalcy. So that's something that, you know, I also help with.
After having that paradigm broken, that's such a hard thing to go back from, especially if you've had like abduction experiences, for example. And I've talked to a lot of people that nobody around them believes in it. But after having those experiences, it's like you can't go back. There is no going back. Once you know that there's something there and you physically experienced it and seen it yourself, like I've heard of families getting ruined over stuff like that. So it's like half the time it is having to find a comforting community. And at least for like, you know, a lot of us different podcasters, our family kind of gets into some of the stuff, at least our immediate close family, but not having your immediate close family into that, you have to try to branch into something else. So at that point, I'm assuming that maybe she found some comfort like within like the UFO community, possibly just making friends that she kind of can separate her two lives and feel normalcy between. She can be as open as she wants to with the UFO community, and then she can be just not really talk about it amongst her family. But either way, it's still a really hard thing to have something so traumatic happen to you and not be able to talk to your immediate family about it, especially like your kids and stuff. Like, you know, I luck out that I can talk about cryptids and stuff with my kids and they believe in that kind of stuff. But a lot of people, like I said, I've seen families get ruined over stuff like that, but it's, there's no going back from it, you know? And it's like, you don't necessarily want your family to experience those things with you. But at the same time though, it's like, you almost wish that they would just see like a UFO or just something so that you kind of get like a foot in the door and then you could possibly start to actually be open about your experiences and not feel like you have to like mask or hide half of yourself when you're at home, which is supposed to be like your comfort place that you can truly be yourself at.
Yeah, 100%. And that's also why I offer family sessions too, because it's really important to understand that if somebody's going through one of these experiences, the best that you can do for that person is support them. Like, nobody's asking you to believe them. Maybe you don't have to believe them, but there are other ways that you can support them, even if it's just listening to them, even if it's just comforting them. But oftentimes what happens is that we're so stuck in our beliefs and in our ways and our perspectives that we don't offer that comfort and that support to our own loved ones when these sort of things happen. And that's something that I also help with. Like, hey, it's not about you at this point. It's about them and like what is happening to them. And just providing some sort of comfort is good enough. Because oftentimes what I find is that, you know, even just for me, like, just talking about these experiences are good enough. Like, I'm not here trying to tell you and asking you to believe me. I'm here just telling you so you can support me and comfort me, because I don't know what's going on right now. Like, I'm going through my own, like you said, like shock, the paradigm shift, which is actually, it's ontological shock, which a lot of people tend to have. And then what sucks is that, you know, we can't even go to psychologists about this stuff, because then they try to pathologize it. And who wants to go to a psychologist and pay, I don't know how much money for a session for somebody to say, hey, I think you need to see a psychiatrist and, you know, you might be suffering from some sort of psychosis. Like, that is not the way it should be, which, you know, is why I do what I do, because there, it's a living field. It's like a little more nuanced and there's just a great lack of support and, you know, help for all this stuff. And it's, and like you said, it can be life altering. So how do you go through that?
I mean, at least if you're coming at abduction experiences, going to like a psychologist or a therapist about it, I feel like more often than not, they end up associating it with some type of like, especially if it's like a childhood experience, they associate it with like molestation because of the whole like probing concept. And they just try to rationalize it from, I guess, the most normal perspective that they can. But even if you are dealing with a family that doesn't necessarily believe in UFOs and there's one person that's an experiencer, there's still the other side of that, that it might not necessarily always be, like, I'm not going to deny the fact of extraterrestrials. I definitely 150% believe in extraterrestrials, but I definitely do believe that there's the other side, that there's government intervention and secret technology. So even if, again, somebody doesn't necessarily believe in aliens or UFOs, they still have to take into consideration that there's still the human intervention that's happening while that stuff's happening, that, you know, there was all like, for people, I want to try to relate this back to them. You know, back in like the 60s, they're doing all the like LSD research, and they were manipulating people into believing this, believing that. And that's kind of a conspiracy going into it. Like, as far as I think a lot of cults were actually like government controlled, and the intention for it was to try to break people away from these break off societies. But I mean, they were doing that research back then as far as strong psychedelics go. And then there's also the whole aspect of secret government projects as far as like manipulation of people, trying to see if they could unlock type of like a psychedelic abilities, this, that. So you mix those two things together, that there's the psychedelic research, and then there's the experimenting on humans that they wanted to do that isn't legal or morally right to do. So they have to try to cover it up somehow. So you mix in the psychedelic drugs, where somebody's under a state where you can pretty much tell them anything and they're going to believe it. And then you're able to do these secret projects that you're trying to do. And all you would literally have to do is wear some type of alien mask, for example, and you could completely abduct somebody, do experiments on them, and they wouldn't know none the wiser. And they would say that it was aliens, and that they know that nobody would believe them. And there's a good handful of UFO cases where people have noticed like mask lines and stuff on the aliens. So that's kind of where I diverge, that I think it's like a two-sided thing happening. But I'm sure that you probably said it to people doing the sessions and stuff, but that might be a good doorway to let people in, as far as like, if you have one person that's a believer and the other ones don't, like bring in the idea that government intervention is definitely a possibility. And if there is some type of zero gravity technology, of course the government doesn't want to be open about it. It's not necessarily some giant conspiracy, as far as it more so might be the fact of, if you have technology that's extremely advanced, you want to use it for military reasons. You don't want everybody to be aware of your technology, because then they're going to start working on that same technology. And if you have technology that people aren't aware of, they don't know who to track it back to. So you can do all of these secret operations without anybody even relating it back to you. So like, there's an extremely logical standpoint as far of it also being human intervention, that, you know, isn't, again, some giant conspiracy cover up that we have all this secret technology. Like, there's reasoning behind it that's completely rational reasoning on why they'd be covering it up, besides the fact of we have reverse engineered alien technology.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, what it kind of gets me is like this idea of, you know, rationalism, right? And I come from it as somebody who was a complete like rationalist. I don't see why, when it comes to the paranormal, things have to be always irrational. Like, why, you understand? Like, I think there's a lot of rationalism in the paranormal, and the fact that people try to stigmatize it and like stamp it as like irrational or, you know, untrue or whatnot is part of the stigma that's propagated, you know, for millennia, for years or whatnot. About this stuff and why we have the problem that we have now as far as like the paranormal, although obviously it's changing, and you know, now more and more people are believing in things, especially with, you know, the UFO disclosure, alien disclosure and all that, spirituality on the rise and things like that. Like, I feel it's a little bit more accepted in society, but there's still a huge stigma around it. And I think a lot of it has to do with, again, you know, this idea of, you know, rationalism, objectivism, materialism, and things like that, which is really interesting to me. And I'm trying to, like, you can have both. You can have, you know, a little bit of rational, but like, you know, not as rational in the paranormal. And I think that kind of applies to a lot of things in life, actually. Not everything has to be rational.
I mean,
are intuitive.
Even the unrational stuff, it may not necessarily be that it's necessarily unrational. It's just not understood yet. Like, pretty much anything that was a science essentially started off as a pseudoscience. Like, I know I've said it multiple times in the show, but like, alchemy turned into chemistry, and it was just a matter of having more understanding of it. So people are looking at the paranormal right now like it's some completely unrational thing. But if you take our rules of energy and how they work, like I was saying earlier in the show, with the whole idea that energy can't be created nor destroyed, you know, assumably the consciousness energy is going to go somewhere. Like, they've done the experiments on it where they've used different types of cameras and noticed, like, when a rat or a mouse passes away, that there's this like uplifting of energy that ends up leaving the vessel. So, I mean, again, it's not that it's necessarily irrational. It's just that it's not understood yet. And it's just a matter of time before we keep furthering the science on it, but you have to keep fighting the battle between it being a pseudoscience, because everything that is a science at one point, people were looking at like it was some kind of occult practice. It was hidden in the dark. And once we had enough understanding and research of it, then it became an actual recognized branch of science. So it's a matter of just getting the paranormal to that point. And again, getting into some type of somewhat government conspiracy, I guess you could say. Assumably, if there's all of these different elites, that their biggest fear is dying. That's why you see all the different things that they do, trying to preserve their life as long as possible. There could be a lot more of an understanding of the paranormal, as far as these secret circles go, than we could ever fathom, because they don't want the average person to know how to live forever. Like, not necessarily live in a vessel forever, but continue the consciousness on forever. So I definitely think that it's one of those things that's hidden in the dark right now, because there's a specific group of people that have an understanding about it. And that's why a lot of paranormal stuff is brushed off to the side. You have all these like paranormal shows that are over the top that make it look like it's a completely irrational thing. I think it's trying to pull people away from the fact that there is an understood science and phenomenon that's happening. And again, it's just a matter of understanding it. And then once we understand it, then it won't be paranormal anymore. It'll be something natural, and it'll just end up becoming another branch of science at that point to further on understand what happens to us after we pass away, at least from an energy perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, what is paranormal, right? Like, if you look up the definition of paranormal, I think it's like, it actually says something like, well, whatever is beyond the normal understanding that of science. And so you understand, to me, it's just like, well, that's a lot of things, isn't it? You understand, like, paranormal can be so many things. And it's like you said, things in the beginning started off as a pseudoscience. And the reason I feel like the paranormal, what we know as a paranormal now, hasn't become more normal, which it is, by the way, like, whoever doesn't think the paranormal isn't normal is probably just, you know, being
trying to turn a blind eye on purpose at this point.
That are completely conditioned, right? So it's just so interesting to me that they are. I do feel that we have been conditioned to not believe in the paranormal because of what it implies and how far we can go as a society and as an individual, as a collective and as an individual. So it's just really interesting that you say that. And I also think about like when psychology started, like the psychology started, what, 1870s, and only about a few years later, they started the Society for Psychical Research, which is basically parapsychology, right? But so they almost started hand in hand, but for some reason, you know, objective materialist science said, no, that's not, it's phony, that's crazy. And so now what we have is like a whole discipline that evolved to help people, you know, with their, like their mental and emotional states and their well-being. And then it could have evolved together with these more psychic and paranormal components, but it didn't, because of these pseudo skeptics, that exist because of, you know, people's beliefs and biases. But it's really interesting that you say that. And I do believe that at some point, hopefully we will win this fight. And, like you said, the paranormal will become a little bit more normal.
See, I think it's like a rise and spike thing, that through time, everybody had the spiritual understanding of the life around us, but there wasn't necessarily the scientific understanding. So that was where like the upspike of like spirituality started, when every society was essentially controlled by religion. And then we had the down point where we went into a fact where early 1900s, kind of on from there up until now, that we had the down spike where everything went into science and everybody took the spirituality out of things and just wanted to look at stuff from a scientific standpoint. But I feel like there's a point where the line's going to balance back out, where we had this upspike of spirituality down into science, and now we're slowly moving into a time where it's stabilizing, where you had this understanding of spirituality and science, and they're starting to converge together, where people are understanding that the laws of reality work in both aspects, that there's the bizarre side to it, and then there's the provable scientific side. And you have to go all the way in one direction to realize that there is stuff in the other direction. And after the downspike of believing in only science, now we're moving into this new era where everybody's believing in spirituality and science. And at that point, I think that's when the true research is going to get done, because it's going to even back out, where people are going to look at stuff from being spiritual and scientific at the same time. And then we'll maybe finally actually start having an understanding all of this stuff without being too irrational on either side.
Right. I completely agree. And I'm really hoping for that, because the stuff that's coming out, especially on the more paranormal side of things, especially in studies with consciousness and things like that, from like ions and these types of like organizations, is really interesting. And it's actually, there's studies that show that consciousness can affect, you know, like technology, which is crazy, but it's true. So who knows? I'm all for it, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that what we do as the paranormal community is helping us get there a little faster.
See, I think it was needed on both sides, though, because you needed the spirituality side to really write everything down as far as like what you want to understand as far as that goes. And then you go into the scientific side and you needed an understanding of science in order to prove the other side of spirituality. So I think honestly, the upspike and downspike of both was needed to have that middle line, because it's hard for people to believe in the spiritual without some type of scientific understanding of it. And it's also hard to believe in everything scientific without the spiritual understanding of it. So it's like, everything is intended to happen as it's supposed to happen. That's gotten me through a lot of hard times in life. And I think that that's kind of where we're at now. Again, that we needed that scientific side in order to have some type of premise or understanding of the spirituality side for the people that are strictly only believing in scientific and things that can be provable.
No. Yeah. And I mean, that concept goes back to, you know, ancient cultures and civilizations that believed in the balance, right? Like, I mean, come on, yin and yang, like that's mm-hmm. the same thing. Because if you think about science and you think about paranormal or spirituality, I mean, they're opposites, right? It's the classic masculine and feminine. And so what we got to do is just sort of kind of make them whole and converge them and have that sort of balance. And I think that's what we're approaching now.
Law of duality. It's eventually going to happen. And it's going to even back out and create that line.
Exactly. You got it.
So, as far as before we end up wrapping everything up, I always like to do words of wisdom from the guests to the listeners. So if there's any words of wisdom that you'd like to bestow on the listeners today, what might it be?
Oh my gosh. Believe. I think for me, my biggest word of wisdom is to believe. And I'm not saying that you believe everything or you believe everything that everybody tells you, but at least have that sort of curiosity and that sort of faith that something else is out there, and look into it and see where that takes you, and have that ounce of belief, not only in what's around us, but mostly within yourself, and see what answers you can find.
Create your own framework of reality so that you can understand your own reality based off of your experiences, and don't completely throw everything out of the window on either side. Again, you gotta create your own paradigm of what you think reality is, because essentially reality is from every individual's own perspective. And the only way you're ever going to understand it isn't from other things that everybody's telling you, but rather you forming your own perspective and framework of your own reality.
Right. So our reality is based off of our experiences. So experience things. Like, don't say no. Just keep an open mind and believe in exactly what you just said.
And for anybody that wants to come and find you on the internet, they possibly want to come to you for some paranormal advising, maybe even just share some experiences with you. Where might people be able to come and find you on the internet, and where can people hook up with getting some help as far as like their paranormal experiences go?
So definitely check out my website, www.paranormalparadigma.com. I'm also very active on Instagram, which is my handle is Paranormal Paradigma. I'm also on TikTok, also same handle, and Threads, also same handle. And I also have an email. So it's Deborah, Deborah, @paranormalparadigma.com. You can literally just message me on any of these platforms and I will reach out and try to help. And if you want to book a session like directly, just go on my website and go to the sessions and just click it on there.
Perfect. And then for all the listeners out there, I'll include everything down in the show notes. Everybody can find everything quick and easy. And I appreciate you making the time to come on today. And I'm looking forward to having you on next time, because I'm sure that we could probably go on for a while. So I'll have to come back around at some point soon here and have you come back on.
Sounds like a plan. I love it. Thanks.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify or whatever other podcatcher that you use. And of course, you guys can also share the show through word of mouth. If you think somebody might really enjoy this episode, you guys can share it with them directly. Or you guys can go on the YouTube or the TikTok, share some different clips of the show. Maybe you can get somebody interested off of watching a little short form version of the show. But anything you guys do, greatly appreciate it. And if you don't do any of that, I just appreciate that you guys are listening to the show. And if anybody has an encounter to report, No matter how big, no matter how small, you guys can report that to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree and there is a specific submission form for that. And if you guys want to get a hold of me for any other reason whatsoever, you guys can do so through social media. Instagram is the one that I'm the most active on, or Facebook, or you guys can also email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form for that. There is two separate submission forms, so make sure you guys click on the right one. And of course, make sure you guys check your spam or junk folders, because I do respond to every single message that I get. But due to the fact that I send out a lot of links for the show, a lot of the time my stuff gets pushed to the spam or junk folders. But anyways, just make sure you guys check, of course, because I don't want anything to get missed going back and forth with you guys. But everything that I mentioned is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.